Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Story Chat with John Fornoff. I'm your host, Brian Bullebush, and here with me is the illustrious John Fornoff. How you doing, John?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. It feels historic here.
So we're here to talk about story and yes. writing and what that entails. Mm-hmm. And today we are going to tackle the big one, as it were. We are going to tackle why. Mm. Why story? Why mm-hmm. is story important? But before we do that, I want to introduce you largely to everyone out there. And just go through, I need your resume, I need references, I need all those things. No. But seriously, John, what have you worked on in the past? What drove you to this passion that is writing? And just share a little bit about your history.
Oh, sure. Wow. When my dad was a great storyteller. And my mom and dad divorced when I was about, I don't know, 4 or 5, something like that. And my dad would pick us up on the weekends, my sister and I, and we'd tell these, and we went on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and we drove it felt like about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to his place. We were in Pittsburgh. We traveled to his place. So anyway, on the way home, right before we got on the highway, my sister and I, we said, daddy, tell us a story. He goes, okay, hold on. And then he paused for a little bit and he go. Once upon a time, .. And then he'd fill in the .. And we'd sit back and we'd close our eyes and he'd whisk us off on these amazing stories. Like there's a Flipperty Gibbet in there. There was all these crazy characters. And there's usually a little boy and a little girl show up in the story by happenstance. And then, he tells just great story. He's because right to the climax. And so the boy and the girl are right there on the cliff and the bad guys are coming over the corner and there's a cliff and it's like, oh no. And then he stopped. He goes, what happened? He goes, hold on. And he kind of like, and then, so he's making it up as he goes along, right? So then he timed it out just perfectly. So like, as we're pulling up to our driveway, right to our gravel driveway, on Bucks Road in Pennsylvania, he pulled up a driveway and he said, and they lived happily ever after. It's like, ah. Oh. So he gave me the love of story. And now, you know, what's kind of fun is I used to work with Adventures in Odyssey. And it's fun because we get all these letters from people to say, hey, when we're on the highway, you know, we listen to the story, sort of like when I was on the highway listening to my dad's stories. So it's kind of like a nice callback. So that's how I got into it. I started telling stories. Yeah.
And so obviously, well, hopefully you grew up. Well, I don't know about hopefully.
No, I didn't. Okay. I was seeing my therapist about that. Something happened. I got to tell you what happened. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
We're gonna go for it.
So one day, my dad brings home. He worked for General Electric, right? Oh, you know what? I should have brought it. If I have that, okay. I just imagine it. Okay. He brought home a General Electric cassette tape machine. Ooh. Okay. Now back Ooh. Then, they had these things called reel to reels. Okay. These giant reels of tape, right? And they record on it, right? And back then, somebody came up with this great idea, the compact cassette, where you could take that reel-to-reel and make it into a pocket-sized cassette. You could put it in your pocket. That's why it's pocket-sized. And he is a General Electric cassette tape recorder. And it was like worth about $600 or something like that. It was like real expensive, over $1,000. I don't know, it was a lot of money. So he brought it home and he says, hey, we can record our own stories. Like I've been telling you stories, you can record your own. He's telling me. And he says, back in my day, we had stories like Superman and the Lone Ranger and the Shadow, you know, all these kind of stuff. So we started playing with it. And he takes me up to the kitchen, right? So he takes me to the kitchen and he turns on the faucet, right? He turns it on, you know, goes, okay, what's that? I said, it's a faucet. He goes, no. It's a waterfall. It's like, okay, I'm getting it. I can do sound effects, right? So I started doing this. He got me my own cassette tape machine, a Panasonic RQ-309S cassette tape machine. And I started recording my own adventures. And I called them radio adventures. And that's how I got started into storytelling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So what you're telling me is you didn't grow up is
exactly right. In fact, I'm still playing. I don't have my cassette tape machine, but I'm still, you know, actually, it's kind of fun. It's like, because we live in a world of like we make it up, but there's a truth to it in what we do. There's a truth to fiction.
What about storytelling did you find so tantalizing growing up? It's so attractive.
Well, this could sound a little dark, but
oh.
We're going to go there. Okay. So we're just kind of like, we're going with it. It was a tough background growing up. I didn't like being a kid. I just went through a lot of stuff and it's kind of sad. I just didn't like being a kid. I couldn't wait to grow up and just to be an adult. And so part of that was, it really was an escape in a way. It was like I could go into another world. And so I would make up these stories and I could go places that I couldn't normally go and in my imagination. So
yeah, makes sense.
You can be a therapist on the show, right?
Oh, okay. Yes. So how does that make you feel? So
can I lie down here? Would you mind?
Okay. I wish I had a couch. I could use a nap right now. So what was your quote unquote professional training? You went to college, went to school, you studied. Who did you study? Why did you study them? I don't know. Did you get a degree in molecular engineering? I don't know. how did you end up on the professional track, and who did you learn from to really influence your writing of today?
On the dry side, on the academic side, I went to the University of South Alabama in Mobile, Alabama. Great school, learned communications, that kind of stuff. So learned a lot of the craft of writing and writing for media, that kind of stuff. But the right side of it, the creative kind of side of it, I learned from the masters. I learned from Charles Dickens. And he taught me by what he wrote.
Favorite Dickensian book, go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that was a sound.
Great Expectations, Christmas Carol. I can't stop. It's just like this stuff is just so, it's so rich. It grabs you. It's funny. It's poignant. And that's the stuff I want to write. I want stuff that, like, you look at Christmas Carol, the first page is like, there's some hilarious stuff in there. You know, the way he writes,
some like dark stuff in there too.
It's dark and it's funny. Page. It's dark and it's funny and it's engaging. And that's the stuff I want to write. My big guy. I love Charles Dickens and others. Just the great masters. I learned from them and just learned a lot from reading.
I know an Aristotle was another one that you learned from.
I studied lots of Aristotle. Yeah. Yeah. He's a little dry.
Well, so, yeah.
But I did study him. He's a little, yeah, but I got it. It's in there.
Well, who else on the more, not necessarily, inspirational side, but more on the academic side, such as, so Dickens is your inspirational.
Mark Twain. Oh, brilliant guy. This guy, talk about funny. I guess I like the funny stuff, right? That guy's brilliant, but his satire, his like, he's got this wit that kind of like, it's like a ninja knife, you know, like, you know, when he's writing, but just brilliant characters. They draw you. He's got that kind of a fourth wall. He kind of looks at, he says, you shouldn't be reading this. Don't make this a school assignment, you know? And that's which is so ironic because, you know, teachers make it a school assignment, but Mark Twain, love Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, all the classics, you know, the classic guys, Hemingway, there's a guy just like, wow. That grabs you. Just the classics. Yeah.
So what is, the stuff that you got your inspiration, you learned how to write, how did you get into the field of writing professionally? Where did that come from?
You know what? I did it for the love of it. I just love to do it. Now, I remember it was third grade. I wrote my first, like, it was, I guess, professional. You do it for a grade, right? So you're getting paid, right? So
my grades are a payment of sorts.
That's right. I'm going to go with it. It was a professional writer. I'm going for the A. And I just wanted to write a story. It was so fun and get the class laughing. I just enjoyed that. So I started doing that. And so I enjoyed the love of it. I enjoyed sharing it. Something that made me laugh or grab me, I wanted to share it with somebody else that they would laugh too. We're on the same page and we're all laughing together. So I'm into the laughter element I'm thinking about here. So anyway, as far as a professional, I started doing, I was in advertising. I started my own advertising company when I was 24 years old. And so I had one advertising company. So I started writing radio spots and TV spots, which are really like 30 to 60 second dramas. You know, that's the way I did them. I used them as my training, right? Because you do everything you do in a movie or do everything you do in a story. So I told a story in 30 seconds or 60 seconds.
I would say that that's a really, really good use of your time. You're using that as, as a training ground, really. So even if you have something, for our prospective writers out there, if you have something that you see as small and not necessarily worthy of your craft or anything, is to go for it and use your passion to fuel that project that you're working on.
Use what you have. Like if you want to tell stories, if you want to be a writer or whatever, start with what you have. Start, you know, in like with advertising, you wouldn't think like, well, advertising, how's that learning a story? Well, you know what? It's three act structure. Got a problem, got the solution, this product, And third act is like, oh, I'm using the product and now I'm a wonderful person and the world is happy and they're singing songs. And then we close the commercial. So there's three acts right there, you know?
And that helps you out with your furthering of your career as well. When you actually went into the drama space, how did that work?
Well, it's interesting because one of my very favorite things to do was to do these little, I call them radio adventures, right? Way back when I was a kid doing, I still have the cassette tapes. Okay. Oh man, I got to dig those up. So anyway, I got more sophisticated. So this is leading up to where I'm going here. So I had this cassette tape machine, the Panasonic RQ-309S, and then I borrowed another one and I learned if I got a third one, I could actually get two going at the same time, record something, and I could play them just off of each other and it would have an echo effect. Or I could multi-layer, like we're in a police station. I have the sound of typewriters, I have the sound of people talking, and then I record that. So I did layers with my cassette tape machines.
Well, it's an analog timeline. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was so fun. And my favorite thing to do is to have my friend Frank come over. He's my best friend. And I was a superhero character, and he was my nemesis or my sidekick, depending on the story. We make up the story as we go along, scene by scene, and we make up our own sound effects, you know, with our mouth, you know, like and you know, just like that. It was just kind of fun. So, and we were making up our stories. It was so fun to do. And then I produced the first one in a recording studio with my friend Mark PA, and we professionally recorded this episode with this superhero character. And then we did professionally with sound effects and all that. So fast forward, this is what I love to do, right? I couldn't wait for my mom and dad. I'm in college, okay? And I'm still doing this, right? And I couldn't wait for mom and dad to leave. Like there's nobody at home. And now I would go and grab pots and pans, all right? Because I had this effect, this klutzy superhero, he would crash into things, right? Mm-hmm. So when he crashed, I'd throw the pots and pans all over the floor, right? And then I'll tell you one day about the sound effect of boiling peanut butter, because he was like being lowered into a vat of boiling peanut butter. And I'll tell you that story one day.
Okay. But
I'm making up all these stories, right? And having a blast. And, you know, this is something I enjoy doing. And there's something about when you do what you enjoy. So fast forward again, my mom says, I just heard this radio show called Adventures in Odyssey. And she says, I think you need to listen to it. So I started listening to it. So I'm like, this is really good. This is what I want to do. Cause nobody was doing radio. My dream was to do radio drama when I was a kid, but nobody was doing it anymore. It's like, sorry, kid, you know, but now they're doing it, you know, now that started doing it in 1987 with Adventures in Odyssey. And I'm fast forward again. I got like a cassette tape machine hitting the fast forward button. Going to 1997, went out to visit Paul McCusker. And over 5 years, I sent him ideas. And then from 1992, that's when I went there, 1992. 97, he invited me to a writer's meeting. And then I pitched him an idea. They liked it and started writing for Adventures in Odyssey. And that's where my career started. And thank God for Adventures in Odyssey. It's a great start.
And unfortunately, you told me that there was an unfortunate set of events where you were laid off in 2005. Where did your career go from that point? Or did I get my facts wrong?
No, you get your facts correct. And this is, wow. That was hard because Adventures in Odyssey was a dream job for me. Mm. I mean, I loved working, a great team, great writers. I'm writing, doing something I love, and just working with great people. Get to go up to Burbank and direct. And it's just like, man, I mean, you write something, it gets produced and people send you letters. And it's just like, it was an amazing experience. I remember putting on my tie and I was, I spent my tie one time getting ready for work. They started a new tie policy, which I hated. But anyway, I got my tie. And then I remember thinking, man, I can't wait to get to work this morning, you know? And like, I've been feeling this way for 5 years, you know? I must love my job, you know? This is like 5 years into it, right? Then I got laid off. But anyway, it's okay, because what happened was I really feel that was all like it was God. Okay, I'll tell you that, because it's when I got laid off, it actually opened up opportunities, and I started doing this, getting out my own and doing my own radio episodes for other people, and work with a show called Down Gilead Lane, work with a show called Affabel with John Bevere. Rescued. So I started doing all these guys, and then started with Mark Lampy, with Mark Hamby and Lamplighter Theater, and just all these opportunities started to flow. So that closed door opened up a bunch of doors. I got to work on 15 audio dramas.
Wow.
And got to start 7 of them. So yeah.
It's something that I've noticed, because just to give everybody my background, went to school, I'm a film person. Little bit of, what am I trying to say? Film work, studying writing. And I still very much consider myself a student of writing and a student of telling good stories. So this is just a wonderful story, or wonderful opportunity. But one thing I've just noticed, and it's something that you can look in the history books and you can see, it is almost a human condition. It's almost a disease that humans love stories.
Yes. And you know, something important you just hit on is stories are so important. It's not just a nice thing you hear before you go to bed or whatever, which it is. But there's something about story that's so powerful that grabs us. And you think about, look at Harriet Beecher Stowe. She wrote this book called Uncle Tom's Cabin. This is a fiction book. And President Lincoln credited her with starting the Civil War. It's like, wow, you know, I hope I don't write a book that starts a war, but you know, there you go. You've got Charles Dickens. Millions of kids were working in mines. I mean, they were dying in mines, and they're just like, just working them to the bone, working in factories. Kids were working like 12, 14 hours a day. There's poor kids and poor families. And the only way they can make a living is to have everybody works, including the kids. They didn't go to school. They went to the mines. They're working in awful conditions. And he was so incensed with that he wrote the book called Oliver Twist. It's a fiction book. People read that and they got incensed that this was actually happening. And because of that book, they overturned the laws, the child labor laws in England, where they you can't treat children like this. You know, they lessen the hours more and more. You got to give them an education. That was from a book. That was from a book. So Harriet Beecher Stowe started the Civil War. We got Charles Dickens, who turned over the child labor laws. You've got other people like Tolstoy. He influenced Gandhi. Gandhi read him. Martin Luther King read him. These are all fiction books that revolutionize the world. Story changes us. And he who wins the battle of the stories wins the battle of the hearts. And it all starts with story. Who has the best story wins.
Just the importance of story and just the ravenous hunger. Why do you think people are so hungry for good stories?
You know, I think there's something about stories that reassure us. It's interesting. Go back to Charlie Chaplin. He was telling stories through film. And that was back during like the Depression, going back through the Depression and going through those hard times. And to get a little escape, it's a little escape, but it also gives you insight into your own world. Mm. When you follow the world of the hero and you watch, you're putting yourself in the place of the hero. You're saying, you know, if that was me, I would do this. It's like, oh, I never thought about that. It's the beautiful thing about stories is they teach us. Now, if you set off when you're writing to tell, I need to teach people this, like, oh boy, that's kind of, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Write a great story, write truth, write what is true. And the message will come out.
I had an old professor at the university I went to. He always insisted upon us open a vein, bleed out onto your pages.
Yes,
put yourself into the stories, because if you put yourselves into the stories, the more truthful it will become.
Yes. And so now we're inspiring everybody to just like, just, yeah, that's a very dark side there, but it's true. It's like you, it comes from inside you. And actually, when you write, when you go through a painful experience as a writer, you know, as a writer, and you think about any kind of art, when you go through a painful experience, I think there's a redemptive aspect of that, where sometimes your deepest pain can become the greatest beauty. Mm-hmm. When you learn something from that pain that can inspire somebody to going through that pain you went through. And just before we close out, can we talk about the joy of writing? Is that okay?
Oh yeah, no, go for it.
Okay. Okay.
We got a bit left.
Okay. Yeah. We were talking about the pain of writing. We're talking about the
joy of writing. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
Okay. We got
the down. It's starting a little dark here.
Now okay. We got the up.
Okay. All right. There's something about when, I'll just say about when I'm writing. So if you want to be, I'm a professional writer. What a blessing that is. I get to write for a living. I get to do something I enjoy and I get paid for it. It's like, wow, it's such an honor, such a privilege. And so what's it like to write? All right. There's the discipline of it. You just got to, you know, there's the discipline side, but I want to talk about the joy of it. Is there something about when you're writing, when I'm writing and I'm putting on the page, I love when I'm writing and I'm laughing. It's so funny. It's like, I can't wait for people to, and then I get actors to act out those scenes and they're laughing, and then people listen to it and they're laughing. And it's like, I enjoy that. There's the other part where it's something grabs my heart and I'm actually crying when I'm writing. I was in a coffee shop one time. I was writing a show called The King's Son for Lifeline Audio Dramas. And I'm writing this part and I'm in this coffee shop, right? And there's a bunch of teenage girls around there, you know, and I'm writing this scene. And it's a scene where I give a little spoiler. It's this. It's something unexpected happens. Okay, sorry, I had to let that out. So anyway, and during this part, it's like it's a poignant part. It's where this guy deserved to die, and the story. I'm not going to spoil. But anyway, I was so involved in this story that I'm writing, making up in my head. I just started weeping. I cry quietly. I'm not make a big deal, but I'm just like weeping, you know? And these girls are kind of looking at me. He's like, it's okay. I'm just a writer.
You know? I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm just writing.
I don't have to kill off this character, but I'm going to.
And there's something therapeutic about it, but there's such, and I'll tell you one of the biggest highs is when you're writing and the actor picks up your piece of paper, you know, this little sheet of paper. I'll illustrate with a piece of paper. We've got to always have to have an audio visual, right? Okay, piece of paper. And they turn that piece of paper into something with flesh and blood and character and heart and passion. And it comes alive there. That's cool. That's amazing. Then sound designers take your work and they add sound design and music, and the musician takes it to another level. And then people listen to it and they hear the whole thing. And everybody along the way is being fed by this beautiful story that I got from beyond myself. Mm-hmm. And what a joy that is. And to see that affect other people, maybe inspire them, get them to laugh or get them to cry, or most of what does it do to their heart? Mm-hmm. What's it add?
Mm-hmm.
So
we've kind of touched on this. Why is story important to you? I know we've sort of touched on it here and there, but more specifically, why is a story that makes you cry, makes you laugh, makes you puzzle and mystery and
yeah.
Why is that important to you?
Wow. I think it's for me, and just me personally, I just kind of speak out of my heart here because we haven't rehearsed this part and which is okay. We haven't rehearsed anything. We're just kind of doing this on the fly, but I think why is it important to me? I think it's because it's something that moves my heart, and there's something that I would love to move other people's hearts. It's just, it's a calling. It's just like, I want to inspire people. Because I've been inspired, you know, when I would love to pass that along if I can, you know, to help people out, to encourage them going through dark places, tough places, that tight places, wherever they're going through it, to encourage them. To move beyond that, to maybe get them to think bigger, to act, to think deeper and to feel deeper, mm-hmm. you know, to think wider and to feel deeper. That would be it. Think wider, feel deeper. There's a story I wrote called The Great Wishy Was. It was the first Odyssey musical.
Oh, one of my favorites. I love that episode.
Thank you. That was such fun to write. And Paul McCusker said, that was where I got to direct. He said, I think you need to direct. It's like, anyway, that's the first story I got to direct. But they talk about, there's in the, and I know we got to wrap up, but there's a land, the land of littles, which is sort of like a playoff of the Munchkins. So in this land, these littles, they live little, they think little, they do little, and they live little.
Yeah.
Okay.
My alarm. Pizza.
Okay. It's sort of wrap up is they live little, and I don't want to live little, and I want to encourage other people. Don't live little. Don't be all caught up in your own little world. There's a bigger world out there. There's a way to reach people, to encourage them, inspire them to think wider and live deeper. So,
yeah. Final question before we head out for the day.
Yes.
What's your favorite story of all time? Go.
Oh, wow. Why Phineas and Ferb came to mind, I don't know. Just flashed through there real quick. And I was like, where'd that come from? I don't know. I'll go back to Great Expectations, Charles Dickens. Just throw it out there. And I'll think, oh, I should have said that one. Oh, no. It's like, I'll just throw that out there. It's just an amazing story. It's just, oh, wow. I remember reading that and it just did something for me. Oh, then there's Lord of the Rings, you know, the trilogy. I read through the whole thing like three times in my life, which is, I never did that with any book in my life. Lord of the Rings is amazing. But you said one, so I'll say, Great Expectations. It hurts. Just squeeze it into a little box.
Yeah. It is an unfair question, I will admit.
All right. Well, thank you, man. You've been great. Thank you. This has been really fun.
I hope to hear to many more.
All right.
Can't wait to.
And I hope this helps people out there too. I really do.
Absolutely. We got a lot in the pipeline. This is the first of hopefully many episodes. So we just want to thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
For this little romp on why storytelling is important. And John, one last word before we go.
As we go, I'm a professional writer, and please try this at home.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.